Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to have a healthy view of what fearing the Lord is. And fearless is a word that we use here on the podcast all the time. My podcast is named Fearless. It's a word that's so important to me, but it can have different meanings in different stages of life and different connotations. But we, of course, are living in a hostile culture that's increasingly hostile to biblical truth, of course. And I wrote a Fearless Family devotional for those that didn't know. And it's a study on 1 Peter. It's only 14 days long, but it's to help equip you to spend daily time in God's word and to help you prepare your family to have a fearless faith. And Peter, of course, he wrote this short letter to believers who are living in turbulent times, just like we are today. And I will put a link in the show notes of how you can get your own copy, but it's also on my website, sissygrahamlynch.com. Hi, I'm Sissy Graham Lynch. Welcome to Fearless, helping you have a fearless faith in a compromising culture. Recently, I saw this video on social media of this little boy going shopping with his dad. And his dad said, I will buy you anything that you can fit in one hand. So the little boy goes down the aisle and he comes up with this huge toy that's like double his size and he's got it in his hand. And he's so proud of the toy he found. And the dad says, no, I said, I will buy you something that can fit in your hand, not that you can carry with you. So he's sitting there kind of contemplating and you can think, his wheels are turning. He puts the toy down and he works so hard and he grabs this toy up with one hand with all his might. And it is the cutest video. And this little boy just created this genius workaround his father of kind of like taking those words of something that the father said he'd give him to something he really wanted. And I think we as adults can be just as agile in turning something from I want to thinking I need it. And we have been in the series of the lies of I's and taking these statements of what we tell ourselves sometimes about I and how we can misuse them. We have taken the lies of I's and we've turned them into truth, saying I deserve into how can I serve to I am enough to is God really enough? And today we're going to tackle the third lies of I's, and that is I need. And it might seem elementary, the kind of I need, Sissy, we know we often overuse that word. And I kind of went back and forth. Should I go over this? Should I discuss this on today's episode of Fearless? And I just began looking kind of in my own life and in my children's life. And I know it just seems so elementary because this is a term that I think we often overuse. And we use it so casually, but then it takes on a greater meaning, I think, in our lives on a daily basis. Because we say it all the time that, you know, I need new shoes. I was just in my closet the other day, a closet full of things. And I said, Corey, I need new clothes, saying it laughingly because he knew I was being sarcastic and silly when I couldn't find a shirt to wear the other day to, you know, I need a bigger house. I need caffeine. Or in the stage of the life I was in just last year is, Lord, I just need to catch a break. I just need to catch my breath. Lord, give me a break. And I remember just thinking, that's all I just needed. I just needed that break from life. Sometimes we say, I just need to take time away from my kids. I need a bigger TV. I need. And we throw this word around just so casually all the time. And in doing so, we're training our brains to think that wants and preferences are more important needs than they really are. And it's about the way we confuse a true need with a want, a preference, an expectation, or even a misplaced desire. And why is this a problem? And some of these problems would be very obvious. But when we confuse a want with a need, we're always left dissatisfied. You think like, what house is big enough? You know, we kind of get a bigger house. And then after a few years, we want something bigger. We think, I just need to make a little bit more money. And we make that little more money. And that desire just continues to grow. And when we have a need that we don't take to God, we think it's all up to us to obtain it. We're not trusting in him. We're going to take it in our own power to attain that need or that want that we have in our hearts. And ironically, as one of the richest nations in the world, as Americans, we are one of the least content countries in the entire world. A recent Gallup poll showed that less than half of Americans, about 47% of Americans, say that they are very satisfied with their lives. So less than half of Americans are satisfied with their lives. And I think about how often, myself included, about being a terrible steward of how much food we throw away in a week. The United States discards more food than any other country in the world. Nearly 60 million tons, that's 120 billion pounds every year. That's estimated to be almost 40% of the entire U.S. food supply and equates to 325 pounds of waste per person. That's like every person in America throwing 975 average-sized apples right in the garbage. And I'm guilty of that. I think we live in a life of abundance. And even if we don't mean to, we can just not be good stewards with what we have. And the average American has almost $8,000 in credit card debt each year. And I just believe dissatisfaction is the breeding ground for ingratitude. And at the core of the I need verbiage is the question of contentment. We are a culture that traffics in always wanting the next need. You know, we'll take a perfectly good working toaster and replace it with a more aesthetically pleasing one that's kind of the latest and the greatest. Feeling incomplete if we don't have the same opportunities or the resources, relationships, or options that we think other people might have. And we live in a world of this algorithm, which is a tool that serves up discontentment all the time. We are actually the ones programming it. When we hit something we like and that we see, that algorithm jumps and continues to show us more and more pictures. And that just in our heart, whether we kind of realize it at the time or not, I think it just slowly grows. Once you've seen that picture over and over, you think, oh, I need that. I need that. I need that kind of house. I need those new countertops. I need that job that somebody else is. They're on a wonderful vacation. Man, I need a vacation right now. And we're just constantly comparing ourselves and we're just breeding discontentment. My son, Austin, just this week actually asked me, Mom, what is contentment? Because we were in our children's Bible study, and for about 3 days in a row, the study was on Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. And in this Bible study, it was constantly asking questions of the children, what is a shepherd? And I went on and explaining to him about contentment, that Jesus is our shepherd. He's going to protect us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to guide us. He's going to lead us. And so Austin asked, what is contentment? And I said, Austin, here's a perfect example. And I think I've shared this with you on Fearless before, but about 3 years ago, my husband and I sold our home, our beautiful farmhouse on acres and a barn, beautiful green pastures. We sold it. And we have recently, well, I shouldn't say recently, in 3 years, we've been living in 900 square feet. We did close in 2/3 of the old garage. So let's bump that up to maybe about 1,000, a little over 1,000 square feet. But I said, Austin, we live in a small house, right? He said, yes, ma'am. I said, but do we have a strong roof over our head? Yes. And that's kind of an inside joke because he knows his daddy always talks about a strong roof and standing seam roofs. Okay. So inside family joke. I said, do we have strong walls that protected us from the hurricane a couple years ago? Yes, we do. So do you have a soft bed that you get to lay your head down that is safe? Yes. And I said, I know sometimes we can want a bigger home, but God has provided us this wonderful, beautiful home with sweet memories over the last 3 years. And then he began to understand. I said, there's nothing wrong with working hard to maybe build a bigger home, but trying to teach him in a way that he would understand is when you're seeing your friends who has this big, beautiful house, that you're discontent with what God gave you. You're upset with what you have and you would rather have what they. So that's why part of me wanted to do this podcast now, because I'm teaching this to my own family and I want them to see that through my actions, what I'm looking on social media, what I might just say casually, little ears will hear that. So the question is, what do we really need? And 1 Timothy 6:8-10 says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And of course, this is not an episode on talking about wealth and money. There's no problem with being wealthy. It's the root of the heart issue. Do you desire that more than what God has given you? Does what you have lead you to discontentment, to where you take your focus on what God has provided for you and your family? But even our culture recognizes that we've kind of jumped the gun on some of these things that we need technically. We're kind of living life now in a minimalistic world. The pendulum is kind of swinging back to this minimalism, which, hey, I've been living that for 3 years. I've become great at being a minimalist, which I used to save every single thing. The only problem with all of this is living minimalistic. I might create some kind of mental issue with my kids that later in life they might become hoarders because mom has thrown everything away in the last 3 years and then they go to the trash can to check to see what I throw away every day. But 18% of Americans have storage units, even though our houses are bigger than ever, with an average of 2,300 square feet. The average home in the 1950s was 983 square feet. Once again, I can check that box. I'm living in a 1950s home right now. And that's not to pat myself on the back. It's more once I found these statistics, I started laughing that this is what God's taught me in the last few years of living in contentment. And the point is not the size of the home or the brand of a car or what kind of schools our kids go to. I know people whose children are in a private school are comparing them to other private schools that might be even better. And just taking a step back and just being so thankful, like, Lord, you have provided this opportunity for my kids to go to this wonderful school. And it's just simple things. And it can just kind of that sinful, natural desire of our hearts for always wanting more. But it's not always just about contentment, about material things. It's also the restlessness of the soul. When we struggle to find peace in the life God has given us, or finding peace in the job where He has called us to be. That's another thing people compare jobs. We're living where millennials and younger generations, they're working from home, they're creating their own calendar, they're off traveling, and we see them post these cool, epic videos. The problem is we don't always see where their discontentment is, because there is discontentment and sometimes maybe not being able to settle down and have a family or seeing what other people have in a daily life. We just live in this world where we compare our jobs, but being satisfied right where God has called us in our jobs. And even in the season of life, I have 3 young children, and I know the younger years can be hard on so many moms. I've actually loved the younger years. It's these getting ready to enter the teenage years that I'm really dreading. But just being satisfied in the season of life, even if maybe you're an empty nester and you're listening to this episode and you've been discontent in that season of life that you're in because you miss your family, you miss your children being at home, but just being content to where God has you right now. And this is just not a problem in the last 15 years of social media. And yes, I think that has heightened it, is definitely increased that desire and want in our hearts of being discontent. But this has been a problem since the beginning of time. Look at Eve herself wanting more, falling into temptation by Satan of wanting more knowledge. And it's why we're warned in the final commandment of the 10 commandments in Exodus 20, not to covet our neighbor's house, spouse, life, or possessions. And it's interesting that it's the final commandment of the list, the parting thought, if you will, to be careful with the condition of our hearts. God knew that being discontent can ruin our spirit, our soul, that dissatisfaction can lead us down such an evil path and not seeing what God has right before us, that it was so important that He listed it in the 10 commandments. And we often forget that because we think we can just brush it off. Yes, we know we need to work on that. We know I don't really need that, but it's so important that that's what He listed in the 10 commandments. But the real question is, do you believe that God sees you and that He will truly provide for you? I know that we might say it like superficially, but do we really know it, that God sees us right where we are? And I think in scripture, in the story of Hagar, when she was fleeing Sarah, Hagar, she was Sarah's Egyptian servant. Sarah couldn't have and conceive a child, so she gave her servant to her husband. Hagar became pregnant. She becomes the mother of Ishmael. And then you enter all this baby mama drama in her life, and that she fled and went into the desert. And there she was alone in the desert, pregnant, afraid. And the angel of the Lord comes to her and assures her that God will take care of her. And in Genesis 16, we read, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why this well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. And lessons that we learn from her is that she experienced prejudice. She experienced injustice. She was abused, and she was in this life of despair. She was in the pit of despair. And I'm sure so many people can relate to that. A time that they faced injustice, a time in their personal life that they might felt abused and that God was so, so far away, and that maybe we're in just a pit of despair, whether it's financially, relationships, marriage. Yet right where Hagar was in the middle of the desert, the dry, dry desert that God saw her and provided for her needs. And she responded to God in faith despite the difficult circumstances she faced. He is the God who sees. She had a lot of needs. We all have needs that need to be met, but he sees us right where we are. There's this painting I can remember my grandfather preaching or teaching about. I can't remember exactly where I heard it, but I've always remembered him explaining this painting, and it's called The Peace in the Midst of the Storm. And it depicts a raging waterfall and this angry water crashing up against the waves and this waterfall coming over and this gray clouds and storms of the sky and this lightning illuminating in the scene. But when you look very closely, you don't see it at first. All you see is the storms and the hardships. But when you look in the painting and this tiny break of the rushing waterfall, you'll find this resting dove right in the cleft of the rock, just peaceful, content, and sleeping as the stormy water surges all around. I've never forgotten this painting. And you think, here's this dove, this bird sleeping so peacefully with the storm raging. And she just has this tiny little space in the cleft of the rock, just tiny enough. It's not big, but it's exactly what this bird needs to rest peacefully, that this is a God that sees and provides even for this tiny bird. And it's an image to me of Elroy, the one who sees me, making a way, knowing exactly what I need, knowing exactly what you need, and that we can live in peace in this peaceful mindset, knowing that God will provide for us each day. And I know there's others listening in ways that I can't maybe compare my life. I know there's moms out there who struggle wondering if they're going to feed their child and that child needs to eat that day. I know there are children in some schools right now who really do need a new pair of tennis shoes. And thankfully, I've been able to provide my children with tennis shoes. And there's people out there that are struggling. They don't know how they're going to pay their bills this month and how they're going to put food on the table or how are they going to save their marriage, and they need to save their marriage. But I promise you that you draw close to God. The scripture says he will draw close to you. Just remembering the story of Hagar, that he's a God who sees you right there in the middle of the desert. And so instead of taking this I need lie to the remembering that he's a God who sees. And in Philippians 4, it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so as we close, remembering kind of just like, what is the solution? And here's a practical challenge. I would say, listen to how many times this week you say, I need. Maybe it's even in your heart. Maybe you don't say those exact words, but you're scrolling through Instagram or Pinterest and your heart's desires, oh, I need that, what somebody else has. And then ask yourself, do I really? Is this something I need or I want? You do have legitimate needs in your life. We all do. And it's not wrong to want something you don't necessarily need. God is generous. He's a gracious God. He gives abundantly. But just to kind of remember, it's about our heart issue and just to really focus on what do we really need. The second is check your gratitude meter. I say this all the time, to be thankful, to praise the Lord. Scripture is full of remembrance of praising the Lord. But have you thanked him for what you really have? That is something we practice in our household daily with my children, is really thanking God for the practical things, those basic needs that are met. For example, have you thanked him for being able to pay your bills? Have you thanked him that you do have shoes on your feet to protect your feet? Have you thanked him for the food in the pantry, whether it's the right amount, just the right amount that your family needs for that week, or if it's an abundance? Just remember to thank him for whatever that is and to start really with the basic needs for a heart of gratitude. And just practice contentment, especially for your children or grandchildren who might be watching you. Think of it as like just a spiritual discipline that when you begin to notice what is all wrong and missing during your day, just stop and just pray, Lord, change my heart to focus on you, that you are a God who sees me, and I am so thankful that you will meet my need today. I just remember this story. I worked in an orphanage after my freshman year in college in Thailand, and they were really struggling 1 month with the bills and how they were going to pay for that. And all of a sudden, my friend, she went, can't remember how it showed up, maybe if it was in the mail, and it was for the exact amount she needed to provide food for this new baby that had just come for the orphanage. Just the exact amount. It wasn't an abundance amount, but it was exactly what they needed for that time and for that week. But I've just never forgotten that story of how God provided right at the exact moment that she needed it. And so sometimes those needs, they might come in the clinch of time, and we might not have an abundance of time, but the Lord provides right when we need it most. And whether you are in the desert like Hagar, remember, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire even in the scorched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So even in those scorched places, even those deserts, God will satisfy you. And remember that Jesus is what we need. This morning, just waking up with a long, long list of things I needed to get done, before I even got up, I said, Lord, I need you today. Guide me. And scripture says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And that is what we need, eternal life, that Jesus provides that. Thank you for joining me another episode of Fearless. If this is something that spoke to your heart today, I encourage you to share it with a friend or family member. And you can also subscribe on my website, sissygrahamlynch.com.